Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Shades of Entrepreneurship. This is your host, Mr. Gabriel Flores. Today, I welcome an owner of a creative design studio, which got me thinking, what is a creative design studio? Why is it important? And why should an entrepreneur care? A creative studio is a collaborative group that brings together all the creative disciplines working on marketing and brand topics. This includes design, copywriters, and the visual team. Everyone can bounce ideas off each other, which fosters creativity. Creative design involves using computer-generated imagery and design and digital animation to visualize a product. It aims to produce unique and memorable designs that stand out so that the customer may easily identify a brand or product. Think of a design studio as a convergence of thinking. It allows professionals to delve into creative thoughts, visions, and ideas with a group to create an offering of sorts, a piece of art, a movie, a physical product, in short amount of time. In short, it is a brainstorming session. But why is it important? As an individual, have you ever wanted to improve a product? I know I have. In fact, if anyone wants to help solve the issue of why the cabinet over the fridge is never obtainable, let us know. Me and my boy Evan have an idea. And big shout out to my boy Evan for kicking cancer's ass. I love you, man. Okay, back to why this is important. Well, have you ever brushed your teeth before? A toothbrush is a fitting example of the power of design according to Columbia Entrepreneur Innovation and Design. Look at the improvement the smartphones have had over the several years. Their improvement is so vast, this next entrepreneur has used the iPhone to create a digital brand. When we had a kid, the first thing we bought was a butt wiping warmer. What? I didn't even know that butt wipes needed to be warmed, let alone there was an actual warmer for it. But that was an improvement of design. The process of design is useful not only for building great products, services, and solutions, but also for pursuing a more creative and open-minded approach to life, according to Columbia Entrepreneur Innovation and Design. Now, some small design studios have some advantages over large ones, like equal amount of talent for less money, smaller spaces for smaller staff usually means lower overhead cost, and well-located design studio will cost a lot of money in a downtown district versus a studio ran from a garage, say. Small groups can also provide better communication in some cases. Think back to the telephone game we used to play in school. Communicating with one person or a small group is much easier than speaking with a large agency. It also helps feel connected to the client. It is exceedingly difficult to not feel like a number when working with a large organization, and that is why the entrepreneur should care. This is not a knock on large creative design studios. This is more of a plea to entrepreneurs to identify other entrepreneurs in creative spaces. As I've stated before, we are a global community of entrepreneurs. There are so many creative solutions yet to be uncovered, and these small creative studios can help. But do not take my word for it. Get out there, network, create together. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy this episode. The Shades of Entrepreneurship, where we interview entrepreneurs to inspire the future entrepreneur. I'll be your host, Mr. Gabriel Flores. So grab a drink, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Of the company's content, discipline in graphic design, videography, editing, and brand design. Please welcome the founder and creative director of Help Humans, Lou L. Fantroy. This episode is sponsored in part by Burnside Knives, essential tools for outdoor enthusiasts and working professionals like yourself. Visit burnsideknives.com. Your knife says a lot about you. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Shades of Entrepreneurship. This is your host, Mr. Gabriel Flores. Today, I have an interesting entrepreneur because this individual really does a lot of work on their phone, but this is not all they do. They do quite a bit. Luell, how are we doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me on here, first of all. I think it's a privilege and honor to be on this podcast and be on your platform, because especially what you're doing, helping out the community, you're giving out free game.
Yeah.
You know, I listened to a couple of episodes even today, and I was like, wrote a couple things down. I was like, oh, I didn't know different taxes and tax brackets. But anyway, thank you. Thank you for having me on this podcast. But I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
And I'm excited for this one because you're a creative man. You got a creative, creative mind. But first, before we get into all of that, let's introduce the world to Luel. Who is Luel?
Luel is, I'm a human being. I'm a complex human being. But I'm a multi-hyphenated ADHD, trauma survivor, creative, entrepreneur, who's a father of five beautiful boys, five children. Five boys, y'all. Man. 12 is the oldest, 2 is the youngest. It's on and cracking.
They got you running.
And I've been, I'm a proud husband as well to my wife, Becca, for 12 years. About to be 13, May 2nd.
Nice. So in fact, today is my anniversary. Year four. Year four, baby.
Congratulations. I saw it on Instagram. Yeah. Congratulations.
Appreciate it.
So that's what I am. That's why I'm a creative through and through. And I feel like I'm a human advocate. I am a human advocate. It is because of my background, because of where I come from. Anything I do, whether it be business or creative work, I believe in, you know, helping out humans. That's why it's called helphumans.care is the website, because I bring that care attitude in every environment. And to rehumanize business, rehumanize people, to rehumanize philosophies and conversations like the conversation we have in now. So I'm a human advocate, and that's why it's called Help Humans. And
yeah. Let's talk about that. What in your definition, what is a human advocate?
A human advocate by definition is a person who thinks, who has the consciousness of humanity before labels, humanity before function, off the bat, human, a beautiful, healthy perspective on humans. And in that leads to other actions, right? It leads to other ideas that are beneficial to the human, not at the expense of the human, or success at the expense of the human. And that's how I wanted to build my brand. But a human advocate is somebody, it's not somebody who just, we want to just put typical, you know, protest on the street and advocate for human rights, but it's how you conduct your day-to-day with one another and how you build your business, how you build your brand. And who is it for? Are you serving humanity? Are you serving yourself? And type of deal.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about the company. It's helphumans.care. You mentioned what is it? Mm-hmm. What does it do? And how did you create the concept?
Help Humans is a digital creative studio, black owned, family grown, digital creative studio. The reason why I say family grown is because I try to make it a family thing. We offer creative services to personal brands, companies, and organizations. We help brands tell their story. At the same time, we're leaning in more to the educational realm of educating people, empowering people to be their platform, to use their iPhone, you know, to use what they have in their hand and work, like my dad always say, work with the flower you have and begin to not only provide creative services, but create content for in-house and also for others. And to educate people on how to create content for themselves, to use their voice, build their brand, and be their platform.
Nice. And so how did you get here? Did you get some education in this area, or did you just kind of grassroot it?
Yeah, grassroot. My education is, as far as it goes, is high school. I'm the youngest out of 5 siblings. And my parents, you know, and I got 2 parents in a home, a whole long story. I'm the youngest out of 5. And I just kind of always had to, like, you know, grab some attention, you know, like, hello, you know, I'm always the one making noise. I'm the one that's trying to get attention and all that type of stuff. So I think that part of me and part of my personality made me like a pioneer and a visionary sort of, like, and so Help Humans, it's been through many forms. The name was, it's a creative studio, but it was established in 2015, but I've been on this journey, and now for the first time it has clarity. But Help Humans started off with just me thinking, okay, I'm a creative. I love fashion. I love design. I'm a videographer. I'm a multi-hyphenated creative. And I believe that you can use creativity to serve humanity. So I'm going to use my creativity, you know, to serve humanity. I'm going to create clothes. I'm going to create videos. I'm going to create content and monetize that content. And when I monetize that content, I'm going to donate a specific percentage to a local cause. So that's how the concept of Help Humans came. It came as a corporation, LLC, but run like a nonprofit organization. Because I said, you know what? My business model is like, why do I have to be successful at the expense of humans? But why not my success benefit humans? So I said, okay, if the more I climb up, the more I'm gonna give back. So, and it keeps me balanced and honest. So that's how it started off, but it shifted to many things. And now we have full out digital creative studio with Help Humans LLC is the umbrella that supports brands that I create. And I'm ADHD, so it's hard for me to do one thing. Yeah. And so it allows me to branch out and to create a clothing design, clothing brand called Rehumanize, and be a platform, which is a magazine blog that helps people be, use their devices and tools to, you know, build their brand.
Nice. Now, what kind of companies do you give back to? You mentioned, you know, some of the proceeds that you earn, you actually give back to some of these community. What are some of those companies, and why is it so important for you to give back to the community?
Yeah, the companies that I did was not local. The first campaign I did, it was a Help Human Shirt. It was Right Just and Right. It was 2020. It's called Right and Just campaign. And what I did is create these shirts to create revenue to give 100% of the proceeds to EJII. I forgot the name of the, I forgot it right now. I'm drawing a blank. But I'm drawing a blank right now. But it's the help in combat the injustice of incarceration that's taking place. So we did that. And now that was a phase in 2020. But as a company, we evolved. Now we're trying to find, we actually in talks of a nonprofit organization.
Oh, nice.
To collaborate in that area to give back to the community. And I think it's important because, like I said, I really, when I say help humans, I really mean that. Like, I want to help brands. I want to help people. I want to help, you know, help humans in many ways I can. And it's important to give back to the community. That's what drives me. Like I said, in the beginning, I said it, I'm a trauma survivor. I know how it feels. You know, I know how it feels to not have. I know how it feels to be overlooked. I know how it feels to go through difficult situations. So that created empathy for me to like touch humanity. So I want to use my gifts and my talents, my revenue to give back to community to make a difference. That's what I tell my kids, you know, and that's what I live out.
Yeah. Now you mentioned you kind of started the business in 2012, right? Was it your first
2015.
Now, was this your first business in 2015 or did you do something before that?
See, this is not my first business, but it's hard to explain because it's all right. Let me go back.
Yes,
all right.
Let's take it back.
Listen, all I got is a high school education. That's it. All right.
Now, that's a lot. That's a lot.
That is. And an entrepreneur, right? And me and my older brother, like that's next to me. We about like 18 months apart. And I always, you know, we were young and it was my idea at 8 and he was 10 to, you know, sell flowers to neighbors for some money, but sell their own flowers to back to them. They didn't know we picked it out of the yard. So that was my idea.
Hustler.
It was my idea to go to the Nike store and act like poor kids and say, hey, you know, we lived in Portland and it was right across the street from the Nike store. And we was like, hey, can we borrow some money? And we was gonna take that money, flip it and try to do some other stuff, like get more flowers or something like that. My dad caught us. He said, man, you do not need to be, begging for money. I'm sorry, none of my kids is doing that. So he took the money we got and bought, you know, some pop cans and some soda cans, and we began to sell soda. All that to say is that that ADHD is kicking in. I just lost my thought just right
now. Oh, you're good. Question. So you guys are just kind of, you've been kind of grinding since the youth, kind of been on the streets with your brother, just selling, you know, doing little side hustles, huh?
Yeah, that was a young age. The original question. So yeah, at a young age, that's what was taking place, which showed a little bit of entrepreneurship in me. Yeah. I didn't recognize until I was older. That being said, school was not for me. It didn't work for me. And it was tough. I never fit in the everyday work 9 to 5, even though I did. I mean, I have 5 kids. So I had like probably like 20 different jobs before I really established my company. And every company I've been into, every place I work for, they always say, you don't really belong here. You need to do your own thing all the time. And I'm talking about simple, like, you know, whether it be working at Panera Bread or driving a truck or whatever it might be. But I always did stuff on the side. But in 2005, we established a business, me and my brother and I. We was 21, 22, and established a business. It was called Level 7. We was in ministry. We was this Christian artist, and we was going to sell shirts, do music, and go on tour. And yeah, then we were excited. We're pumped up. I had the vision. I created the logo on Microsoft Paint. We went into the swap meet and we looked at store prices for the shirt, blank shirts, and we priced it out, drove around and priced out the shirts and say, okay, we can get it. We can bump up the price 50% right here if we shop at this store. And we printed shirts, gave out CDs and all that type of stuff. But we was invited to perform, and then we performed. We ended up getting a check later in the mail, and that check, we couldn't cash it because they wrote it under the name Level 7 Reach Heaven, and we didn't register our business.
Oh, no.
All that to say is that we kept that check for $200 and framed it as a reminder to always be prepared.
Yeah.
In business, and we learned a lot of lessons. So, no, it's not my first business. Trying to start a business, but this is the first business that in 2015 that I've consistently stayed with. And actually now I'm working full time from freelancer to now entrepreneur. So
I love it. That's a great story. In fact, you know, one of the things you were mentioning, you know, you and your brother were sitting in front of Nike, you know, getting some money, and then you eventually took that money to start and sell soda cans. Now, kind of sticking with the same concept, how did you finance this venture? Did you do some grassroots? Did you venture capital, angel investments? How did you decide to finance this new business?
No finances. It was a hobby. You know, I didn't realize I was an entrepreneur. I didn't realize that until the age of 30, to be honest with you. I was in ministry and I was pursuing ministry roles as a pastor and clergy work for 14 years. And in that, I battled with ministry or it for entrepreneurship. And it was hard because I thought it was a moral thing. I was like, okay, God wants me to do this, but I want to do this. Who am I listening to?
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I started listening to myself, be honest with you, until success started to happen. Because I think it was all in my head, you know, so.
How difficult was that to pivot from, you know, going to studying for several years to be a minister to just like, you know what, I'm going to be an entrepreneur?
It was very difficult because I always had the itch to be an entrepreneur. This is how I'm wired. But when I was in ministry, when I say trauma survivor, I didn't want to get deep into it, but I'm a religious trauma survivor. So when I was in ministry, it was tough. People saw the talent. They saw my gift, my ability, but they wanted to use it for the ministry, and I was a young, vulnerable kid that didn't know my capabilities that, hey, hold on, this can provide for my future family. This can, you know, this is actually a business. I didn't come from a family of, you know, educated, you know, people, but my dad did have his painting company, and that's what sparked my idea. But yeah, it was hard to navigate from that religious mindset to now entrepreneurship. And I found myself being hired as a media director, doing all the things I do now as a creative in these ministry roles, also as the teaching, as a speaking pastor and everything like that. And I find myself being hired for all those things, but not using it for me, you know, for me and my family as an independent person. So it was very difficult. So I stripped away from that and began to pursue my family and I pursue our dreams and our vision. And it's been great.
Nice. So you kind of, was it a pretty gradual transition from ministry to being full-time entrepreneur, or did you kind of get some clients under your belt before you made that full-time transition?
Yeah, I was and it's hard to explain because I was in ministry for 14 years, and it was until like 3 years ago, 2018, like right before 2019, when we said, you know what, we taking a sabbatical. And really, we was done with church. We was done with ministry at this time. We was burnt out, you know. Yeah. And we kind of thought it was a sabbatical. So it was gradual. At the same time, I was getting hired to do work.
Gotcha.
I was doing client work type of stuff, freelance deal. And then then it wasn't, then I established and said, you know what, I'm more than a freelancer. I'm more than a videographer. I am a agency. I'm a creative director. I feel like I can direct things. I have a vision and an eye for things, and I want people to hire me for that. And so as I kept getting clients and more jobs, and I increased my prices, my confidence increased. And I go, wow, this industry, you can make some good money.
Yeah.
So I started pursuing that, and yeah, it was gradual. The answer to your question, I'm sorry, I can't answer.
No, I love it. That's a great answer. That's a great answer. Now, what would you say was difficult about kind of, you know, you pivoting out of ministry and you're starting your own business, you know, doing it full time? What would you say was the difficult part about it?
The difficult is learning to trust myself. Mm, that was the, yeah. That's the difficult part, you know? And in the religion I was in, the emphasis, don't trust yourself, trust God. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, I didn't know, find a balance in between that, you know? But so it was like lack of trust in self. I don't know if I'm doing this for my selfish ambition, pride, ego, or I'm being a humble servant. So that was the dilemma I was dealing with. As a creative visionary, you can only imagine how much I have vision, but then I stop, slow down, or I'm hesitant, or I go fast and I stop. And I had people see my journey and they're like, Luel, you started this. What are you doing over here? You're doing this, you're doing that. And they see and everything, my whole process. But it wasn't until I got clarity. But that, you know, so yeah, that was difficult because trusting self, it was, is what I had to learn. And I start betting on myself, and boy, yeah. Oh boy, start paying off.
Yes. And I imagine, you know, I grew up born and raised Catholic, and, you know, kind of coming up in a religion where, really talking about yourself, right, or talking about your accomplishments was not looked at favorably. Right. In fact, it was frowned upon, right? You're not supposed to be giving yourself praise. You're supposed to be praising God. And I think as I grew and I'm like feeling that sense of imposter syndrome I've talked about before, you know, where you're like, you just feel like, yeah, you don't belong kind of thing. And then once I started to kind of believe in myself, to your point, right, and started investing in me, that's when the confidence started to come. And I realized, you know, nobody should be ashamed of celebrating their wins. Right. Those are wins that you've worked very hard. In fact, I was talking to another guest about, like, you know, when these one hit wonder songs come out. Yeah, it might be a one hit wonder, but they probably made hundreds of songs before that weren't that hit, you know? So it wasn't these people, just doesn't happen overnight. Now with the business, what would you say, you know, kind of transitioning, what would you say has been easy? Has there been anything easy?
Yeah. With the business side, it's been easy to create. Course, you know, as a creative, it's been easy to create, and it's been easy to, like, that's probably not the most, but yeah, that's easy part.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the difficult part, I can talk about that, but, you know, but anyway, but the easy part has been easy to create, easy to create relationships. I'm just made a video and I talked about how, you know, when I'm not a salesy guy, I am out there, but I'm not the type, hey, I'm the guy for you. If you need creative work, hey, hit me up, DM you. I'm not that guy. I need a little bit of that sometimes, but I am the loud introvert, I should call myself. So what's been easy for me is to create and put my work out there and let my work draw attention and let my work begin to, like, when I can't sell myself, my work sells me. So in consistently doing that, and, it's been easy to tell my story, to talk about my brand, go behind the scenes of my brand, the name changes of my brand, the new logo of my brand. I allow people to be out to see me and see that process. I'm a public processor, and I find that to be therapeutic for me sometimes, but sometimes it hits me because, you know, but yeah, you know, because you put yourself out there and like a fool.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I keep trying. I got a motto in our household. We say, keep trying, keep going. That's not a go through hard stuff. No, it's keep being curious, but stay on the process, you know? And so that's been easy, is keep going, keep trying, keep going, creating consistency, even in the moment where there's no clarity, just keep going. So,
you know, you mentioned right now that you're not a marketer, right? But how? Mm-hmm. But you have to brand yourself and market. How do you brand the company? How do you market the company?
Yeah, we kind of, it's be honest with you, I'm learning that myself just now, because I think branding is really getting to know yourself and it's self-awareness. And I'm just now finding more self-awareness. My idea of branding was to show off my shiny logo, was to show off my work. That was my idea of branding. But I understand, you know, what am I known for? And whatever I'm known for, I want to capitalize on that. And I want to solve that. I want to solve that problem and I want to answer that question. And that's why I believe in Be That Solution. So now my branding, my market myself is, how can I answer stupid questions or answer simple questions? Yep. So I'm making video and content by educating and answering questions. And I believe I increase my brand when I add value to others, when I give. Yep. And that's what I'm on the go. People have seen my work. Now I'm branding myself. I'm showing my work from a market, from a influencer to an educator. You know what I mean? So yeah. That's what I think.
You know, one of the things you mentioned right now is the value piece, right? I think that's an important lesson for a lot of entrepreneurs, is if you can provide value, you can sell anything, right? Mm. How important is it to kind of create value for what you're doing? Because that's kind of, I'm assuming that's kind of how you get your clients back. So how do you kind of create value for your clients?
Yeah, value is serving them. Value is answering their questions. Value is, and that's me learning. Because that's the key. I believe in, like, generosity is the gateway and the door to prosperity. I honestly believe that. And I believe in giving. I truly care. Like, when I come alongside your company, you tell me your company vision and where you're going, I feel like you're talking about my vision. I'm an empath. I'm a highly sensitive person, and I'm aware of that, but I use that to my advantage. And I forgot the whole main thing you was saying, the question. Sorry.
No, you're good. We're talking about your brand and what,
the value piece. Yeah. Yep. So yeah, it's that care aspect. When people interact with me and they hear me, they're like, dang, this dude care about the brand. He's acting like he's part of the team. He's acting like he's one of the employees, or he's part of my creative team. And because I feel that I'm easily pleased, but easily inspired by others, no matter who you are. So, and I learned from so many other people. So I believe in adding value by caring and also answering those questions. And it's important because it creates trust. It creates trust with the community and the people you're trying to reach. And that's the key, is to consistent, create that trust. Show that you care, show that you you want to see them succeed. And that's what I say to myself. I say, you know what? I honestly love making other people look good as a videographer, as a graphic, and I love seeing other people succeed. And I said, that's why I'm in a niche market, and that's why I'm going to succeed. You know, so add value to people, show them that you care. I believe helping people, you're going to get money. You know?
It's very true. Very true. What motivates you? What motivates you to kind of keep going?
What motivates me is my legacy, my children. I want them to live in the world where they don't have to work for nobody. They have a choice if they want to work for somebody. I want them to live in the world where, it's unfair. It's definitely discrepancies, is biases, is racism, is prejudice, is sexism, homophobia. You call it all these things. Yes, we live in this world, but I want you to have the best platform, the best start in the, you know, so you can make your impact in this world and your kids can. So legacy motivates me. And another thing that motivates me, it starts there in my family and my kids, but also what motivates me is literally seeing other people touched and changed. When I see other people take my advice on a creative level and they implement it, I'm like doing bad. I'm showing my wife, like, you see, I just told them that and they just did. Oh, I celebrate. I'm like, wow, they're winning. Yep. So yeah, to make an impact on people, that motivates me. And nice. To really everything I feel inside, all the greatness, all the vision, all the feel like I feel like God has given me and I can do, what motivates me is to fulfill that. And I kind of have a little fear, though fear doesn't run my life as much as it used to, but there's a little bit part of me that says, you know what? What drives me is to not, maybe that won't happen, to fulfill all this potential. That's the fear, but also that drives me, but also there's a piece about it as well. But anyway, that motivates me.
Nice. You know, you mentioned the word fear, you know, mm-hmm. and it's probably easy to be fearful and kind of new, new ventures. Have you ever felt that moment of self-doubt of when you've pivoted from what you've been doing to what you're doing now? Or do, have you always felt like, no, this is what I should be doing?
The fear left once I got rid of the religious perspective, you know, and I the fear is, and do I have self-doubt? Yes, I have self-doubt sometimes, you know, I definitely do. I like, you know, I have like three things going on in my head at once of projects that I need to get done, you know, and I got to, you know, so, and I got five kids and a family. So yeah, sometimes I'm like, can I do this? You know,
yeah,
I'm a solopreneur right now.
Yeah.
My wife is coming on board to help out a little bit, but I let her take her time because we already run the household, you know what I mean? So I have self-doubt, but no, not fear. I don't have fear as much. I feel like I can do anything now. I feel like it's just a matter of doing it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What keeps you up at night as a small business owner? What's those things that keep you up at night?
Well, it's probably is that it is part of contradicts myself, and you're going to find that because I'm a human, but, and that's what process is, right? Process. Everybody look like a hypocrite in their process. We all in one. What keeps me up at night is kind of what I said, just now is that, you know, a lot of juggling of clients. Do they, you know, I'm still working on like, okay, like I hope they okay with this project. I hope they okay with this product. Sometimes I think about that and they love it and I keep getting good feedback, but at the same time, maybe it's that perfectionist. And sometimes it's maybe, can I get this done on time? Can I do this? So sometimes that can keep me up at night, but most of the time to keep me up, what keeps me up all night is literally new ideas that I got to say no to. And just expounding on my projects that I'm doing now and a new vision for the future of the business and new creative tools. And just, it just juices me. I'm always like tinkering up here and it's sometimes I need to turn it off.
I love it. Where you mentioned, you know, you're kind of thinking about the future of the business. Where is the future of business headed? Where do you see the business in 5 years?
Mm-hmm. The big vision in 5 years, I see help humans. I see help humans being a premier digital space in this world, in this planet, on the internet, the small blip on the internet. A premier place for content that literally helps people in you name it area, help moms, help dads over 30, you know what I mean? Because that's the future. I call it, it's Help Humans Network. It's a digital media television network where we got one network with many channels. And so that's where I see, and people can get online courses, they can get coaching, help humans be in a digital space for, you know, you name it. But the key is to start off small, then to work our way out. But yeah, 5 years from now, Help Humans Network, a digital hub for people finding their solutions. I mean, you know, so.
I love it. Now, what advice would you give folks, you know, that either aspiring entrepreneurs or, you know, maybe other folks, maybe clients you've worked with, right? Mm-hmm. What advice do you have for folks, for some consumers or, you know, other entrepreneurs?
Mm-hmm. My advice is to, like, just because you can do many things, now do that one thing that people are asking for, that you're known for, and let that open up the door for you to do the other things you want. And I'm speaking from experience. I'd be way farther along if I wasn't juggling five things at once. But that's advice I give you. But in order to know, is to try to grasp self-awareness. Know yourself. Get to know yourself so much so you can know what you can and cannot do, what works and what doesn't work for you, and what can get you in the door or get you out of the door. And I think that's the advice is, and be patient with that small thing you have, that one thing you want to fit 20 things in the door, but just get that one thing that allows you to the door first. But
very true.
That the hardest part is that patience part. So
what about for yourself? What advice would you give a younger Luel?
Is exactly what I just said now. No, I'm serious. First of all, this is what I give advice. Luel, bet on yourself, trust yourself, flourish or fail, but do it yourself. You know what I mean? Seriously. Yeah. Don't be afraid. And also, just be patient and whatever, if it's just the camera that gets you through that door of you being behind the lens as a videographer, though you want to speak, though you want to consult, though you want to, they don't want you for that. It's okay. You can just put that on the shelf. It's all right, Luell. Now just get that camera, be a videographer, take away your ego and just be that person and be patient. And the doors will open up to other things you want to do instead of the other way around.
Yeah.
That's what I tell them.
I like it. So for the listeners at home that are interested in learning more about you, learn more about the company, maybe clients out there, some future prospect clients, or how do they find you? How do they find your information? Where are you at on the social media channels? Let them know how they can connect with you.
Well, you can connect with me on my website at helphumans.care. The site is under construction, literally. My client's website looks better than mine. But no, it's under construction, helphumans.care. You can find me at Be Your Platform. That's where, you know, you can find me on Instagram at Be Your Platform. Also, I got like 3 different Instagram accounts. Also, byp.iphone is another one. I'll give tips, tools, the news on how to be your platform, create content for your brand, your business using just your iPhone.
Yep.
So, yeah.
That's one I follow. That's one I follow. I'm always like, how do I get better on this dang podcast? How to get more people to be aware of me, but I'm doing it on the phone, right? Mm-hmm. Everything's mobile. And for that's actually a great thing for entrepreneurs to think about is when you're thinking about marketing and branding and you're thinking about your website, think mobile first. Because at the end of the day, I think it's like 68 or 70 some odd percent of the people that are going to look at your site are going to look at it through the mobile app. And I'm telling this to myself right now because I have a mobile app and a mobile site. But I realized I'm asking all of my listeners to subscribe to my newsletter. But on my mobile, I did not put anything to subscribe on my newsletter. It's only on the actual website. So I noticed that today. So now I have to go back and rebuild so I can, you know, make sure that the listeners, when they get onto the mobile version of the webpage, they can sign up for a newsletter. It's just the nuances, man, the nuances to building a website. I built my own and now I'm realizing like this is I don't wish this on my worst enemy.
No, it's no joke. That's why I'm not done with mine. And it's, yeah, it's no joke.
It takes time. Well, Luell, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. I really do appreciate it. Again, for folks, please go check it out. Helphumans.care, right, is the website. And then check out all the different social channels. Again, I follow well on a few different ones because I actually do get a lot of tips, especially from the iPhone marketing, so branding. So please do check that out. For folks at home, please subscribe to the newsletter. You can also subscribe to the podcast. You can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. And have a great night.
Thank you for tuning in to The Shades of Entrepreneurship. For more information, please follow The Shades of E on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or visit theshadesofe.com.